Millennials are always hungry for nostalgia. Gen Z has no understanding of nostalgia. This is the first time that they are making memories. While you chase the money, your problem gets somewhere buried down or get neglected. So you stop thinking about the consumer. You start thinking about how much are they going to make you money. Mm-hmm. And that becomes difficult for you to scale. It's never going to scale up for you. If you don't understand the consumer, you won't be able to put out the right communication. You're not getting customers then. You're getting probably how you set it through a Salman Khan movie just for the entertainment for once.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It'll be one real show. So you will register probably, but they will not purchase.
Hello, everyone. This is your favorite voice of business psychology. I am your host, Kritika Kashyap, a management psychologist. Ever met someone who could turn an anime episode into a marketing lesson? Enter Ritwik Raje, a maestro who thinks so hard, if it were a sport, he would be taking home gold. This marketer, and let's admit, somewhat a depressed Manchester United fan, believes the world needs kindness and less business blunders, and boy, does he have insights for us. From the dizzying speed of content creation to AI sport in Indian corporates and the unspoken shadows of the startup realm, we are about to unwrap the science, the art, and the unexpected. If you are ready for a sarcastically fun roller coaster with Ritwik, let's tune in.
Hi, Ritwik. Welcome to the podcast, Psych and Success.
Hi, Kritika. How are you doing today?
I am good, very good. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. It's been a good day for me. So pumped up to have a great conversation. Yeah. Surely looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, you know why I wanted you to be on the podcast is because when I first met you years back, I had 8, 9 years, 6, 7, 8 some years, and you were at your university. And we were just talking and you shared that you're doing your podcast, and I thought, oh my god, he's so cool.
I was doing a lot of different things. Yeah.
7, 8,
I think we first met in 2013.
Was it? 13?
Yeah.
And then that was, I was like, okay, I'm just so glad that now you are on my podcast.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
So why don't you start with introducing yourself?
Okay. Hi guys, my name is Ritwik Raje. I'm a marketer by profession. I love writing. I used to dance. I can sing a little bit, only to the ears who are not trained to music. And I love talking. So I love talking about people. I love talking about my love for anime. I love talking about anything and everything, actually, at the end of the day, because the conversation will always teach you something new. And I love having people around me, but also I love chilling out with just a book and some coffee. I have a penchant for beer. And I think, that's more than enough about me. So, yeah. I'm here to talk to you, Kritika.
You have been, because I see you as a great learner, and whatever avenue that you see, you just grasp something out from it. So what is one thing that Ritwik is learning, and if you have your own twist to that learning, because you're really good at that?
Oh yeah, so over the years, now that I look back at it, at that point in time, it was probably the most troublesome thing that I was doing was learning. How much do I have to do to become better, to reach at that point where, that I start reaping the rewards? It's frustrating. It kills you inside, right? So, but the process happens, and then you move away from it, and then you start realizing in hindsight that that was a beautiful learning experience. Irrespective of the result. And, you start then formulating a little bit how you actually went through the process. And, right now, probably, the most troublesome thing that I'm learning is social media.
Okay.
Being in the... Oh my God, it's so dynamic and it's so frustrating. You don't know what's gonna work. You don't have that much time and energy to spend every day creating new posts and new thought. And it's actually not a new thought as well, right? So there has already been one thought like that in the past, in the future. Everybody has thought something or the other related to it. So it's very frustrating to, you know, think of new content pieces which you don't actually relate to or don't understand, and then, you know, you put out something which is probably not relatable to other people because you thought it's related to other people. It's like a huge hullabaloo. So
we pull it off quite well.
So I think I prefer LinkedIn now more. I think past Ritvik would kill me for saying that because I used to hate LinkedIn at one point of time. I absolutely hated the atmosphere there. It was so fake. So LinkedIn has cracked down a lot on that kind of content, right? Which was fake, which was just promotional, and, you know, it was not adding any value to people. And so that has kind of helped now actual creators, actual people who can, you know, actually impart some value to others to get more out of the platform and more followers or more likes or more reach or whatever it may be. So that is something, that is why I think LinkedIn has suited me a lot more. Instagram is overtly crowded at this point of time. It's very difficult to kind of stand out there. So that's why I took this anime route. Let's see how it goes.
So what I would begin from, what made you get into digital marketing and consumer behavior? You are a lot into that and understanding the psychology of consumer things. What got you started? So start from the beginning of where the idea originated.
So consumer behavior is something which is more of a recent obsession for me, because that's something that I realized after Maika is ki how can I apply my knowledge of human behavior to business. So that's how consumer behavior was born. And this is something that we are taught during our 2 years course in Maika as well, which is the softer side of marketing. One is the science side of the marketing, which is all data oriented and, you know, you make decisions logically. And then there's this other side of marketing, which is the softer side, which is not taught as much in most of the B schools in India. And there it's all about that. And with the digital revolution that is there right now on Instagram, on Facebook, all of your differentiation matrices work on behavior patterns. They are talking about what you like and what you dislike, right? So you prefer, you know, to see videos of people who are making hair videos. So why are you looking at videos of those people? Because you have nice hair, you like hair fashion, and you want to keep yourself up to date on trends anywhere that is there. Yeah. That is very normal. Now, the parachute company who's going to target you will choose that particular behavior pattern that you like to watch hairdo videos. So that's where I married human behavior with business. And I saw that digital has a huge potential in there, wherein organic marketing, pre-marketing can be done very easily if you touch the right nerve with behavior pattern.
Then isn't it very tedious and hard to, you know, understand consumer behavior?
That's why my charges are high.
Oh, yeah. So, and where did your passion for digital marketing came through?
Digital marketing is just a way for me right now, the most trending thing to make money out of. Right. So it's like the thing which most businesses are struggling with. I feel that I can do a decent job there because I understand the platforms now. I understand the algorithms. I understand how they work. And I've worked with people who know a lot about this as well. So I keep asking them, what's new? What's going on? How are you doing this? How are you doing that? And, you know, that's why I feel like, you know, digital marketing is a space which is ever evolving, and that also kind of intrigues me a little bit. You know, I can play with human behavior a lot on digital marketing, so that kind of, you know, boggles my mind a lot every day. And so all of that combined, particularly probably, you know, digital marketing ka interest itna zyada ho gaya hai.
Yeah, it's an open playground altogether.
It is an open playground.
Yeah, so why don't you talk, because you mentioned anime, and now I know that you are putting anime to help people understand about marketing and consumer behavior. So what's your idea behind it?
Yeah, I want to dramatize the entire thing. Right now, there is a lot of formality to everything. Right. So you see the kind of videos or, content that is produced by marketers or, brand strategists or things like that. Right. So they are very formal. The jargon itself gives me a headache. I can't listen to another video of Ravindra Talreja. I think his monotone is like haunting in my sleep at this point of time.
That's happening in the 90s, and then professionalism. Quote, and you have to talk very straight. That is just continuing with time, and people are not really willing to change with the changing times. And
it's not even just in business, actually. It's also man management that has not evolved. And that's like the more troublesome fact, because I see these veteran CXOs and startup founders who have like tens and 15 years of experience, and they still don't understand the legal right to take a leave. They don't understand millennial mentality. They don't understand that a generation can be different from how they have been brought up, on what terms they have been brought up. For us, taking a leave or working from anywhere, and there have been a lot of LinkedIn posts where I've seen people, calling out an entire generation for no reason.
Well,
just because they have had a couple of, probably, even calling them bad apples is wrong, but it's just that not good experiences with employees who are probably in our generation. And they've called out to an entire generation just because of that.
Yeah, that's the stereotyping that goes everywhere.
And that's, I think, Milab, that's somewhere, rooted in that mentality itself. These managers really need to step it up in terms of man management. Milab, forget digital marketing. That's, I think, a little too far ahead for India right now. Milab, I don't think there's a single, now there are people coming up with like a lot of skill sets, and like they realize the potential of digital marketing. But as far as man management has gone, Milab, it's going to take a long time for India to kind of step to that.
More so the millennials or Gen Z that we call, they're called the rebellious generation, because we are taking charge, we are asking what we worth or what we deserve. And people who are from the earlier generation, if we ask them, like, would you want to take a leave or would you want to work from anywhere, they would be like, definitely yes. But then, like, how could you ask for such things? These are like just out of my brain.
Yeah.
So how do you think, like, because you are, in a way, you are a face of the next generation. And so you are just fixing your face.
It's your face up.
And then we define millennials and Gen Z in different, year brackets. So after 1996. There's Gen Z, before that is millennial, and I am a millennial, you are a millennial. Although we relate to all the millennial things, all the millennial reels, but then what Gen Z is doing, trying to bring a change, being very outspoken and transparent and clear in their vision, their sights of what they really want to do and how they want to make an impact, and whatever they are not getting and they feel that they deserve, they're very outspoken about it. So, I mean, I do not think that this is the year demarcation that segregates people or generation, but how individual thinks instead. So, and even like the corporate, so how have your corporate experience been, and what sort of challenges maybe did you face?
I think the biggest challenge that I face is incompetence.
Okay, can you, do you want to elaborate?
Yes.
little too harsh. And I'm nobody to fool that. I myself am not, you know, good at everything. But I think incompetence in the sense that, in its true sense, actually, I would like to say is ki the unwillingness to actually move ahead is what kind of, you know, kills me from inside, is what I see very, very prominent in the Indian startup diaspora, at least at this moment. While they want to make something which is, you know, cutting edge, and like everything is, you know, it's the new generation product, and, you know, it's going to solve this and it's going to solve that, and all of that is absolutely perfect. But you can't just have an advanced product but not an advanced way of working as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to understand today, if you have a great product, that's probably not even 30% of the job done. Everybody has a good product because everybody's manufacturer is the same. How can you have a unique product from a unique manufacturer that you also have a competitor for? It's impossible.
Yeah.
China has 50 manufacturers. India has 500 companies.
Okay.
It's the same manufacturer for everybody. Okay. So you're either altering the formula for something, or you're doing something else to the product which makes it unique for you, so that you differentiate it on the marketing front. So ultimately, it boils down to your branding. You can't differentiate in this sea ocean of product just on the basis of a product.
Yeah, absolutely. And how you market your product as defines exactly what it is, and how
exactly
it or seeing.
How can you differentiate in branding without understanding your consumer?
Mm-hmm.
There are 15 different brands who have the same exact product for the same exact consumer.
Right.
Why would they come to you?
Startups or organizations are not moving forward with their services or branding or the other.
There's a lot of ego that is running around the Indian startup industry right now, because they get a lot of money. And this is something which is a little controversial, and I don't know how it will land, because this is based on my experience with, you know, working with a lot of founders. And what I feel is ki there is a lot of ego running in founders, which, you know, make them proud of themselves before even they achieve anything. And, you know, I'm not a founder myself, but I have seen founders. And while I probably don't want to be a founder, it's because I have seen such founders that I get scared that I might turn into them. There's a huge run for money, but there's not a huge run for solving real problems. So what is happening is, while you chase the money, your problem gets somewhere buried down or get neglected. So you stop thinking about the consumer, you start thinking about how much are they going to make you money.
Mm.
And that becomes difficult for you to scale. It's never going to scale up for you. If you don't understand the consumer, you won't be able to put out the right communication. You're not getting customers then. You're getting probably, how you sit it through a Salman Khan movie just for the entertainment for once.
It'll be
one real show. So you will register probably, but they will not purchase. So yeah, that's what it... Yeah, sorry.
So it's not... I mean, people would not remember it at all for a longer term, and then the organization, the product wouldn't run. It'll be just one spike and that's about it.
Exactly. And that's how that's happened multiple times. The success ratio for India for startups past 5 years is less than 20%.
Oh, that's very low. At this moment, India is getting a lot of startups. Like, people are bombarding. The country is being bombarded with startups.
Because it's a huge population, Kritika. It's the population itself is such a huge... It's like you're sitting on a gold mine, but you don't have the tool to mine. You think that your product will work well in Tamil Nadu, but it bombs there. if you would have launched probably in Delhi, it could have been better. Or not even Delhi, if you would have launched it in Cochin, not in Chennai, it probably could have landed a little better. It's because you didn't study the culture of separately Tamil Nadu and separately Malayalis to understand where is the better fit. That you are not able to pitch your product to the right audience. Because right now you can do that. You can reach out to a very specific sect of the audience. So if you crack that particular, you know, behavioral code, then you can do that. But startups, that's why, you know, one, they are too proud of making that product and they don't realize that they need to think from the consumer side as well. How are they going to deploy them in their daily life? And two is they don't have funds management skills. It's very, yeah, it's a very controversial statement, but yeah.
Yeah, but then how do you think that, you know, even let's say with time, but how can it get better? Because at the end of the day, human beings and with the greed of money and let's say if the ego is coming in between, there should be some way that, you know, things can get better and people actually start believing in their product and not just the ROIs.
That's what's happening right now. The funding winter will teach them, a lot of them. If the funding winter doesn't teach them, then it will be a trial by fire. So you will have to go through multiple failures to finally realize that this is not the way to run a company. This is not a way to launch a product. You won't be able to scale a business this way. And, you know, so this is the softer side of marketing that I keep talking about. And this is all run by a lot of data that is now present in this country. Because since there have been so many startups till now, there have been some successful cases. And the others which are succeeding are also following that path in one way or the other. There are very few exceptional cases where the growth has been very organic and it's a product which has kind of ruled the market. Otherwise, the product is more or less the same. Any product that you see, whether it's Meesho, it was just a morph of e-commerce platform. Whether you look at, you know, which other brands, Happenstance is a great example. Crocs, Carl, direct competitor. And there are multiple brands which are coming up like this, which probably don't have a very unique product, but consumers have not had a lot of options there. And they are copy brands, but, you know, they are just following a blueprint and it's working for them. They just have great influencers. They have beautiful videos. They talk about the right keywords all the time, irrespective of their copy, not at all matching their video. I mean, the kind of videos that I've seen for them, their copies don't at all, not at all match with the kind of vibe that they're going with. But it registers. Because it's a celebrity, the music is catchy, and the words are said with gravity.
Okay, I'm going to check those out. Sounds very...
Happenstance videos are very catchy. And that's something that, you know, a marketer friend always suggested to me, the product itself. And it was like, it was an experience going through their marketing collaterals. And
yeah.
I love the way that they have positioned themselves as, you know, Crocs is all cute and comfortable and sustainable and, you know, whatever, all of that. Happenstance is all about looking cool. All of them are like oozing with swagger in those videos. So what I feel is that this blueprint also is working for a lot of brands, but there are very few, I think, unique products now coming in India. And that is also one of the reasons that, you know, the startup industry has not been very successful, because the moment that you start copying somebody else's blueprint for a longer period of time, they don't work out. It's impossible to do that. But we have seen that historically multiple times. And it's the same story which is happening right now. People are trying to copy the blueprint, but it's not working out. And anybody with a unique product either gets absorbed very quickly into one of the big ones or they become, then they have to sustain, and sustenance is hard. Unless it's mostly they get sold out one way or the other, but yeah.
So as a marketer, I mean, what do you think is your role, or how can you help such brands or maybe the people who are actually into these softer areas of marketing as well?
So I think softer areas of marketing right now is for everybody, whether you are a B2B company, a B2C company, or a D2C company, or, you know, whatever A2A company you might be. I think consumer behavior right now is at the center of every business that you do. So for example, you're running a podcast, right? So podcast has to be directed towards a certain audience. I might have a brand which sells honey sachets. Now, honey sachets are also targeted towards a single consumer. Mm. Now, you might be selling SRS tubes.
Mm.
Now, SRS tubes are also going to businesses which are run by people. AI still has not started running businesses.
Yeah.
So, we still have some time. we still have to talk to people. So, I think... I think, you know, this is something that... we all need to understand and accept as a fact, is this world has moved on from a lot of physical, sensory, physical, I don't know how to put it, but it's become, a lot of it has become driven by your mind itself. So your mind kind of rules everything on your body right now. That's why there is an increase of mental health issues as well in this world, is what I feel is happening. There's a lot of strain that is happening on mind because of the myriad millions of issues that this world is facing, and the social media implosion, which is a information overwhelming feeling constantly in your mind. That is, I think, leading to, so all of this is snowballing into something where we are suddenly opening our mind a little more towards things, because there is an information explosion. So, you know, there is a research also wherein they have found out that the human brain size is also increasing as compared to its body. So our evolution is happening. So now, and there are evolutionary patterns now happening in infants, where they don't have the wisdom tooth anymore. So that is the kind of evolution that we are going through, that our bodies are becoming a little weaker. That's why there is a huge requirement for gymming, you know, people going to work out now. Because previously people used to walk. They used to walk a lot. They used to run a lot. They used to do physical work a lot. But now we don't. So our bodies are kind of becoming weaker, and our minds are becoming a little stronger. And that's where I think human behavior becomes a larger point of view, because previously probably your product and a little more money as bribe even could have worked. But today, a bribe might not even work, even though that person might be corrupt. You have to, you have to talk to him in a way that makes sense to him. It was always there, but it's just more intensified right now, because there are so many more channels of communication. It's not just that you're going and meeting that person. You can talk to him, you can WhatsApp him, you can Instagram him, you can LinkedIn pe connect kar sakte ho aap. He follows you everywhere, you follow him everywhere, your business follows him everywhere. He's always updated with what you're doing, right? So even though he's a part of another organization, he still knows what your organization is up to. So that's why you have to think what he's connected to, where he's traveling to, where his kids are studying. Probably you can connect something from there and then, you know, make up a communication for him personally, which sells your products easily to him. See, corruption has gone down a lot, is what I feel. Okay. Overall, from what I sense in people, is there is especially with the Gen Z coming in, I think corruption, it's a vague concept. I don't want to get into it. Let's not get into it. But overall, I see that, the corruption part also is kind of become a lot gray, and people have started realizing that while there is a level of corruption which will always be present in a society, there is no perfect society as such, but it's become realized as a gray area now, rather than just be either okay or either a black and white situation, basically. So that way also, you know, the world is evolving a lot towards it. That's why you have to think about the person more than the bride.
Probably. So coming back to the corporate world, do you think that because how you have like, what, 7, 8, 9 years of corporate experience already?
Yeah.
And do you think that with the younger generation, Gen Z coming or the next generation coming in the workplace, and the older generations with all their, you know, experiences, is there a way to bridge the gap between those two? Because the younger generations are very passionate about things. They want to make a change, an impact. And the older generation with their huge bunch of experiences, how can we, like, you know, there should be a bridge that...
I love the film. I love how you said huge bunch of experiences. Milab, I think, Milab, the way that the younger generations are now growing into the world, they are always overwhelmed, right? Milab, I don't know if they are overwhelmed or not. For me, it's overwhelming. It would be overwhelming if I was in their situation. You know, to have information being thrown at you from everywhere. So the way that, you know, the two generations think will always be different. So they will... come from a point of view, probably we are, you know, always dipped in nostalgia. Millennials are always hungry for nostalgia. Gen Z has no understanding of nostalgia. This is the first time that they are making memories, right?
Yeah.
They have grown up with mobiles. They will probably, most probably, die with mobile phones. There might be a technology by the time that they start dying. Yeah, by the time that they start dying, that they might have those ocular things where you project it on a blank in air, basically, I think, or on a blank wall. But I think that will be the highest amount of evolution that they might see. But in terms of communication tools like mobile phones or, you know, laptop, we have not had such a huge revolution, or we are, I don't think there is going to be a revolution in the near future as well, where, you know, think the way that we consume content will change. The only problem is, and that is something that we need to kind of accept as a fact, that we have lived through a time which will never come back.
Right.
Nostalgia is something that we can't anymore live in. And that's something that millennials need to understand and accept and move on from the top of this nostalgic bombardment 24/7. Like, there's a new bachpan ka cartoon ka channel coming up on Instagram every day, and it makes me so nostalgic, and I have to watch that show then. So that's what defines millennials. Gen Z never had that feeling. They don't have any nostalgic feeling. They grew up with relatively healthier household, healthy surrounding, especially the urban folks, right? Urban population has had a very, very different upbringing in terms of all the Gen Z generation than probably even the rural parts. So for urban Gen Z, it's a huge mismatch between the millennials and the Gen Z. Millennials are still rooted in their, you know, simple thinking and all of those thoughts. Probably I don't want this life. Probably I just want to be a farmer. Gen Z doesn't understand the concept of a farm. They see it as another job profile, probably. I'm not even sure how they see a farmer as. I think their food comes from Swiggy. I don't know.
So because, you know, my call is so funny. What is it? I see, like, a lot of even Indian Gen Z, how millennials have seen, or if I talk about myself, how I have seen a farmer or farming as something that it's for rural people. It's not something that probably I would dwell into. And which is, I mean, would say it's an absurd thinking. But then I have seen Gen Z collaborating with farmers, working with them, making a ton loads of money out of it.
I'm sorry, Gen Z, I'm not trying to be a mood killer. You guys are the best. Please don't cancel me.
Oh, there's another cancel culture now. Let's now move on to you know, how AI is coming in, and what is your take on it?
I get it when somebody talks about AI.
I want you to get to it.
When it comes to AI, I've had this debate inside my head for a long period of time, and I think I did a post on it as well. Ki how can you, you know, enhance your output from an AI chatbot like ChatGPT, which was also 3.5, not 4, which is like still not connected to internet and has like old data running.
Yeah.
So it was like a very small post and something which was related to my field. But overall, what I feel, and this is something that I've been, you know, I've been thinking about a long period of time, because I've seen so much content now on AI that I am now repulsed by the fact that there is AI in this world. So I've had this, you know, constant conversation inside my head. Is AI good or is AI bad? Or, you know, is it actually going to ruin lives and jobs and things like that? So there is obviously a huge concern around this. And, you know, there was a conference also recently where all the, you know, the real leaders of the world is what I call them. Basically, the head of Meta, Google, Tesla, and basically Elon Musk. So these are the real leaders of the world, is how I think.
They are.
So
it's not just about things.
Yeah, exactly. It's a capitalistic world. They run the world.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they basically took a decision where they wanted to halt the research process for now. I don't know if it's a marketing gimmick or if they actually have kind of stopped the research output at this point of time. But that was for the right measure, because you know, what is happening right now is people, one thing, people, there is so much to talk about AI. I think my mind is kind of going everywhere in the same direction, right? At the same time. Yeah. So, okay. So is it good or is it bad? Let's focus on this right now. So it's good for people who know how to utilize AI effectively. The problem is, most of the people are too enamored by AI to actually understand it.
Okay, and how do you say that?
So, what is happening is we are using a lot of tools, like mostly it's regenerative AI, right, at this point of time. And what we are using it is for different kinds of prompts. So, you know, you help writing an email draft or a marketing copy or, you know, to probably connect it with your Google Calendar. And, you know, people are making bots out of bots now. So they're, you know, coding into ChatGPT to do things for them at the same time. But what is happening is this is generative AI. This is not still evolved to a point where it can, it is powerful enough to take into account the imperfections of human behavior. It's a very cliched statement. There are two ways to write copy for an ad for Google, for a men's shaving brand.
Okay.
One way is you give a prompt to the ChatGPT that I want a ad copy for this brand for Meta Google Ads, and they give a ad copy because it's, you know, they know, they understand the data limits, they understand the creative level and all of that. So they will give you the right copy in the right characters limit, in the right format and all of that. They will give heading, title, they will even probably explain why this campaign will work or not work and all. And then there is another way where you put in information like for men aged between 32 to 45 living in Kolkata.
Okay.
Working in IT department of their offices. Married, love to drive, love going on vacations. When you start adding these things is when you get a custom copy that is specific to your brand, which connects with your own. Right.
Right.
So this is where human
intervention
is still required.
Yep.
And, you know, this is why AI will never be able to take over everything. It might evolve a few job profiles, which is the law of nature. But it will, I think, because its inherent property is to evolve to a point which we have prophesied and we kind of fear. So, which needs to be protected at to a certain level so that, you know, it doesn't become a Terminator's move.
I've heard it so many times and I have spoken about it, that it is not really the AI which is going to do anything to your job. It is rather the person who actually knows AI and to use AI coming up for your job. And exactly. So everybody needs to upskill themselves. And even if you talk about the older generation, they need to get their hands into it to really keep up with what is to come.
Absolutely.
And how do you see, like, the corporates, especially in India and with your experience, how have they been using AI in their... Are they using AI? And if they how have they been?
Yeah. So this is something which is even more disheartening, that the way that Indian corporate diaspora, the way that it understands AI is very... It thinks of it as an assistant that can do everything.
Yeah, okay.
They don't understand the difference between an AI chatbot, which is generative, and between a real person who can actually do those things. So, and this was my experience in the past company that I was working there for. And I came on as a brand manager. The moment that I presented my brand strategy and I told them that it will take us approximately at least 2 weeks to kind of get into the flow of churning copies, like, you know, 15, 20 copies a day. Because I'm changing the way that the creative team thinks about, the product, the brand, and the consumer. Because they have been doing a lot of programmatic content till now. And social media pay right now, programmatic content doesn't work at all. You have to be creative, fun, engaging. You have to connect with the consumer in one way or the other.
What is programmatic content?
Programmatic content is something which is the cat.
Okay, go ahead.
So they focus on the product a lot for all of their content on any of the social media platform, and which was not obviously getting them anywhere. It probably brought a couple of likes, two or three, because it was very information heavy. It was difficult for the consumer to connect with. And plus they had, bought a few followers, so Instagram had shadow banned them, and et cetera, et cetera. So it was really difficult to get that, profile back into the algorithm again and visible to a large part of the audience. But it will take a little bit of time. Now, what happened was there were three projects running at the same for content writers, and I had only access to one content writer at that time. And that person was already overburdened. I was helping them out. And then when I went to the managers to kind of tell them the entire situation that I don't have content writers, and they said, TKS, let's start hiring and we'll do that. And then they will have some support. But obviously, the hiring did go well because I was never allowed to interview the person.
People are not like targeting the right set of
I don't think so. Indian corporates know how to hire as such any which way. But
they're taking the older versions of hiring. And that does not work anymore now. And all the creators, people who are actually doing some real work, they do not really want to work with the companies who are getting into the orthodox, who are working in the orthodox way, because they know their progression would be zero there and there's no value addition.
Absolutely. In the first meeting, one of my CEOs said, she said that I want everything yesterday.
So, did you not say that? Why was I not hired yesterday?
Obviously, I didn't say anything. I was thinking that
that's just a cool term to say because it's all out there in the movies.
Exactly. It's such a cliche term in the corporate lingo now that people have gotten irritated of it. And like, we know there is calm, okay? You don't have to tell us. We know there is work. That's why we came here and we are here to work only. We are not here to pass our time. Please let us work. Don't give us unnecessary pressure.
Yeah.
It's not going to help. And that is something that happens, that is happening with AI. People are asking copywriters to designers to use ChatGPT to create images and photos and, you know, creative copyrights. And I'm like,
I have used it myself for my own branding and everything.
Yeah.
It's amazing, but it has never given me the result that I want.
Exactly my point. You said it in a line what I have been trying to explain to all of these CXOs for a long period of time. AI is not your solution. People are. The biggest irksome thing for me right now is these businesses have not done anything themselves till now. By themselves. Matlab, khud se kuch ukhada nahi hai, and they want to use somebody else's creation to help their business.
Yeah.
First you learn the basics. You dive into a business, you know, set it up yourself, get good enough sales, and then you start using these tools to kind of make your job a little easy. You don't start with these tools.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's just to elevate your whatever you have been doing.
Exactly. Simplify your processes with the help of it. Don't, don't give it your own of your work.
So, even, you know, I was reading the other day that what we were talking about, how people are still in their orthodox way of working. There was one a research that was done. The organization went to unlimited holiday. And that is when they saw, and they were, of course, they were skeptical about the performance and people taking, misusing their this thing.
Holiday.
And people took exactly the amount of holidays that they already were, and the productivity increased by some percentage because now they saw that the company was actually very considerate of the employees. And now that they are treating them as adults, and so they are also performing as adults.
Exactly.
And it's
all about empathy and care, right? So I saw this research very recently, by a Japanese, billionaire. So, I saw a story where he basically goes into a long hibernation for a long period of time, wherein he does social research on animals.
Okay.
So, what he did was, there were three different bunnies that he adopted. He started feeding all of them at the same time, every day. The first bunny, he used to feed it in his lap, you know, caressing it and quietly singing to it slowly and steadily, and then feeding it. Amazing.
No.
The second bunny, he used to feed inside his box. He let him be inside the box, give him some food and feed him still, but no other special treatment. The third bunny, he would just throw the food inside and leave. The third bunny developed a cancer that was not possible to be cured.
Oh.
The first bunny was healthier and became healthier and fluffier and healthy as hell, right?
No.
The second bunny is probably somewhere in the middle of those. Struggling, but not at that level that they have developed a disease. And, you know, this is probably the most basic example that probably you can give to anybody in how to treat. Just be there for your employees. Yeah. There's nothing else that is required. There's literally nothing else required. Just understand them at the most basic level. Again, don't tell them it's going to be a hard place to work at because they know they're going to a startup. So I actually saw this job posting also recently by Leap Club's co-founder.
Okay.
And he had talked about everything about the, about how the work is going to be, the job description as such. And then later he had talked about a single role which requires them that the person who joins in as that particular role, in that particular role, needs to work on the work culture. So he talked extensively about how they as a company have had a lot of, learnings in the past 1 year with respect to work culture, and they want to set it up now on a much, a deeper level. And that is why they're hiring somebody especially for that kind of a role.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, and then at the end, he still wrote, P.S. We expect 200% from each other. Something like this. I'm paraphrasing probably, but something like this. Yeah. It's very difficult. You know, it's a very demanding atmosphere. You have to work things, etc., etc. It's a classic startup line, right? Every startup has this line. It's a startup, yeah. You have to work a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But don't kill me with it. No. You're planning to change the work culture and you are trying to attract good people and you want to retain good people. And then you say, ki, nahi yaar, yeh,
the culture sucks, by the way. I want you to boom and fix everything.
Yeah. Office is just very tense all the time because the CEO and the CXO thinks that this is the work culture for us, that we have to work 2x speed. Because not every day is the same also, right? So not every day you will have the same amount of pressure. Not every day will be just as hectic. Yeah. So look, you can't say something like that, which is not true. You can demand 2x of everybody, but they don't have that much work in this world to kind of make them work every day of their life. It's impossible.
Yes. And as, I mean, even as human beings, you just burn out, and burnout rate has spiked so much. Heart attacks, rates have spiked so hard. Well, forget burnout, dude. I was so scared.
People are getting heart attacks at 35, 42, 40. I mean, it's very, very scary. And these people are fit. These people go to gym every day, eat from probably a professional chef, have like nutrition charts in their hanging above their beds. And then these guys are getting heart attacks. So, I mean, it's very, I can't deal with this work culture anymore. Yeah.
So now, like, bringing it back, because I know that you are now planning to venture into something of your own, you're building your own brand, and probably very soon you are also planning to get into consultancy. Yeah. So what was the reason? I mean, we have more or less discussed about the reasons. But then how do you think that your consultancy, your brand would be different from the existing marketing brands that are already there?
So the consulting thing actually now has given me a lot of freedom. And that is something that probably I always desired. But I never actually realized that I wanted. But the biggest reason I think that I've gone into consulting is because of my horrible experiences with culture. I don't see there is, you know, any reason for me at this point of time to expect anything out of any work culture. And that is why what I have realized is there is a lot of potential in startups in India. But they are not being able to realize it because of multitude of reasons, which is within their organization. Either they're not able to manage funds, or they're not able to probably create that winning campaign, or they're not good at management, team management, anything for that matter.
Okay.
So what I'm started from right now is a brand consultant profile, because that is something that I love doing. I love content marketing. I've been writing for I don't know how long at this point of time. I don't even remember when I wrote my first. Yeah, so it's been that long. And that is something that I want to use into, because content marketing is everything right now, right? So you are consulting at a, you know, lighter level kind of content that we are consuming. And that is why I feel that I can make a lot of difference in that respect, where I can help brands set up long-term content strategies for themselves.
Right, and
you know, which is based on a single behavior inside, which also is dynamic, because it will evolve with your pivots, with your new products. Because you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you're unless until you're pivoting industries, if you're pivoting within that, you know, bracket of the product wire, for example, if a women's hygiene brand tomorrow wants to sell personal care, which a lot of brands are not doing, it's a very easy pivot. So what they have to do is they have to find that one single statement or brand value proposition or you might call it a consumer insight, anything you might call it, right? When it relates to a larger part of their target audience.
Okay.
And that becomes like a statement for the multitude of brands that they might open in the future related to that particular consumer category, right? So that is what I want brands with, to find that one single outlining umbrella thing that can pass all of their marketing efforts, and they won't have to look at probably anything else anywhere else for you know, to create a new piece of content. They can go back to that same playbook. Probably, you know, do a match the following thing where they connect this consumer, this age group, this communication, this platform, and they make a copy or a creative or a campaign or something. So that's what I want to, you know, help brands with. Create a playbook so that they, you know, keep running for as long as possible.
Yeah, it's a longer game that, I mean, that would help startups sustain for longer rather than just doing the gimmicky stuff here and there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So right now, I think consumers are on looking for, you know, quick solutions. But on the other hand, they are looking at brands who actually speak to them or give them entertainment.
Yeah.
So either you entertain your consumers, which Zomato is doing. Zomato is doing both. Zomato is entertaining you as well as getting you on their platform to sell you things. Other brands are not doing a lot of entertainment.
Okay.
Which they need to start doing in one way or the other. You look at these brands now and they talk about such random things in this world, you know, which you and I relate to on a personal level. But for them, it doesn't make sense. Like, why are you talking about gully cricket if you are in marketing agency?
Okay.
Right. So it doesn't make sense from a logical point of view, but it makes sense because their marketers used to play gully cricket.
Right. Yeah.
Employees used to play gully cricket. They themselves probably played gully cricket and they relate to it. So they will talk about it because they want followers at the end of the day. If they're popular enough, they will get enough clients. And that's what the game is right now. It's more of a popularity game rather than a, you know, solution game. But that's where the Indian brands need to kind of find that balance where they don't go entirely the popularity route and they forsake the product, or they go entirely the product route and they forsake the popularity.
Got it. So, Ritwik, it had been such a wonderful conversation. It is just, we can go on and on about this. But then thank you so much for being so candid about everything and sharing your experience throughout. I think we need another like part two of Ritwik Rajay.
Absolutely. I would love to talk. Yeah, I'd love to talk as such any which way, I think. Yeah, let's not do it too quickly. I think people...
Not back to back, definitely. But then you... I see that you love talking, but then it's talking with an intent. It's not just randomly talking about stuff. But then it is really impactful in a way that it will help people better navigate about whatever is happening, transformation that is happening around.
It's an absolute pleasure, Kritika. I've been looking forward to this point for a long time since we first talked, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, the conversation went everywhere that I've been thinking about for the past 3-4 months now. And it kind of gave me a lot of clarity as well in my mind as I thought about those things. And this is why I love conversations, right? You start thinking about them from multiple different perspectives because you want to tell that to somebody else, and you probably have thought it in a way, but when you tell it, it comes out very different.
And I am pretty sure I loved it. The audience, the listeners are going to love it as well.
And there you have it, another episode of Psych and Success, packed with insights and real world advice on business psychology, Gen Z, evolving workplace dynamics, culture, AI, and so much more. If you want to stay ahead of the curve and dig deep into the fabric of modern work, you know what to do. Hit that follow button, share this podcast with your network, and drop us a review on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you tune in. Your feedback not only supports us, but also helps us connect with more inquisitive minds like yours. By the way, if you're looking to get in touch with today's guest, I've got you covered. Check out the description for their contact details. And if you feel inspired to chat directly with me about these compelling subjects, you can book a quick call through my Calendly or shoot me an email. All the links are in the description. This is your host, Kritika Kashyap, reminding you that the future of work is here and it's evolving fast. So let's explore it together. Until next time.